Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 9-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So a friend of mine contacted me on Facebook, how this usually happens, and said, hey, I have a cancer survivor that I want to talk to. And she's on, we're actually Skyping today because, you know, sometimes it's a lot cheaper for the rest of us to use modern technology, and hopefully it won't fail on us. So I have Emily Reese on the line with us. How are you today, Emily?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, let's tell our listeners a little bit about your story. You're a colon cancer three-time. Well, this is the third time's a charm,
yeah,
as you say.
Well, I hope it is a charm. I'll go into where I am now in a moment. But I started off about 7 years ago having some issues with, I guess it was my stomach. I was feeling icky down there. Mm-hmm. I was very I was not, you know, consistently irregular. Right. I was losing some weight and I didn't really know what it was. And I ended up in the emergency room. And what they diagnosed me with originally was just a colitis. So that's something. And if people don't know, your colon is also called your large intestines. I mean, okay, there's things I learned I never really thought about. Right. So your colon is your large intestine. And they said that I had colitis, and is basically an infection in your colon. Long story short, with that first section there, I ended up, you know, having to be careful with what I was eating. Mm-hmm. It cleared up. They recommended for me to go in for a colonoscopy. Well, I ended up not being able to afford at the time I was a single mom, mm-hmm, and I wasn't working yet. I was going to school and I could not afford the $1,000 deductible that I had.
Right.
And so I mistakenly decided, well, I'm feeling good, I'll just let it go. And then a few months later, I ended up in the emergency room again and with completely blocked, almost totally. And I had an emergency colonoscopy. They couldn't even get through my colon, and it turned out to be cancer. Then I had an emergency surgery. So, and then chemo followed. So that was the first time that I had colon cancer.
How long ago was that again?
I do not have, that was about 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have it in my family really. Mm-hmm. It's not like I have, you know, a history of it throughout my family. I did test for the genetic marker, but I did not test positively for the DNA aspect of that. So, and then everything was fine. I wasn't necessarily cleared, but I was allowed to go back 6 months and then 1 year.
Right.
And then I ended up back with it again. And that had metastasized into my ovaries around my ureter, which is the tube that goes between your kidney and your bladder. And then another polyp that was cancerous in my colon. So it was pretty aggressive. It happened quickly. I had a surgery, chemo again. And
were the doctors surprised at that?
Yeah, I think they were. They had such good results, they thought, and the mm-hmm first time around. And it is highly survivable, but, you know, it really depends on your body type, how right you treat yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't really blame how you treat yourself necessarily, the cancer, on that. But certainly, you know, coming off of being sedentary for about a year with colon cancer and whatnot,
right,
steroids, you know, I had gained a lot of weight and I just never really worked to get it off. I'm just being honest. I don't want to make it seem like I was perfect. I was, when I first got colon cancer, though, I was in great shape. I played basketball, mm-hmm, lifted weights, worked out. So I was in good shape. So it wasn't that I wasn't in good shape, but certainly that can play a factor. Right. So I ended up having an emergency surgery again and then chemo again, mm-hmm, and thought I was clear again. And this time around, it has spread to my lungs.
Oh.
So, yeah. So this third time around, it's considered stage 4 and it's pretty serious. So they have me on the same kind of regimen, or actually a really good drug, mm-hmm, they've given me that shrink the tumors.
That's good.
And yeah, and that's good, but it is not, it's been pretty hard on my body. Mm-hmm. So I'm currently in the middle of chemo and I've been diagnosis of essentially it being terminal. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of dealing with that which is, I can speak really frankly about it because I've had a lot of practice sharing that, and it's interesting. So I hope that wasn't too lengthy of an explanation.
No. It's your story. You can take as long or as short as you want, for sure.
Well, I know I want to give enough details because it's really important for people to listen to their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And important for them to trust their intuition, really, and say, you know what, doc, things aren't going right. I mean, I know I'm young for any kind of issues with with my colon, but I need to get in and get checked, because there's so many young people now. There's a trend going on of younger people getting colon cancer, and it used to be 50 was what you, when you go in and you get your colonoscopy.
Right.
And now that's a trend that's changing, and doctors, you know, who are worth their salt are keeping up with it. And if your doctor is not listening to you, I encourage you to get a second opinion.
Exactly.
And push to make sure that you be your own best advocate. Don't doubt yourself.
Exactly.
If something's going wrong down, you know, then you need to have it checked out, because if your digestive system is not working, it affects your entire body, as we know.
And the other thing is if you don't trust your doctor, then you can always get a new one, because they work for you. And I know a lot of people, you know, they don't want to offend their doctor or make them feel bad, but it's like, okay, well, you know, if you get a bad haircut, you know, you're not going to go to the same stylist. If your doctor is saying, well, you know, I know your stomach is bothering you, but let's just wait and see it, you know, I always tell my friends, it's like, don't wait and see, get it done. Nobody likes, nobody, like you said, $1,000 deductible. Nobody wants to have a lot of medical bills, but it's better than the alternative, obviously.
Well, I certainly wish that I had gone through with it and figured out a way, you know, looking back. I don't like to live with regrets, and there's nothing I do really regret, but that is one thing that I would have changed if I could. It wouldn't necessarily have changed my diagnosis, probably, but, you know, at least knowing, as opposed to it being an emergency situation.
Right.
And so now I'm just dealing with it day by day and learning how to look at life through a little bit of a different lens, the lens that everyone thinks they should be living with, which is, you know, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow, and we should be living life fully and with love. And when you're hit with that in your face, the reality of it, it becomes a different sharpness to it. And so that's where I am now, learning how to live with this diagnosis. It could be 6 months, it could be 5 years. I mean, a miracle could happen, or a new drug could come along, and it could be, you know, 20 years, 30 years. So I just have to live as though, you know, I have to stay on chemo for the rest of my life. And I hope that my body can take it.
Now, is that chemo through intravenous, or is it a pill, or what is it that you're on?
No, through, it's intravenous. Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a port, which is something that is hooked up your chest area, that is hooked up into your artery, or I don't know if it's a main artery. I can't remember, main vein, I suppose. But anyway, so it ends up, that's how I get my meds.
Right.
My veins are all shot. I think you've had experience with that, or at least know people who are in your with chemo, your veins get really shot.
So, oh yeah, I had
so
a port.
The port is like magic.
Mm-hmm. Although I was so happy when I got it removed. That was my favorite.
Yeah. This is my second port.
Oh.
I call it the Matrix, because I think I'm plugging into it, you know, when I go into the office, become the Borg, you know, or something like that from Star Trek. But
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a miracle to be able to have that, because otherwise I don't know how they would get the drugs into me, you know, the poison, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I am right now. My kids are handling it. We've had a really, you know, we have a really interesting family dynamic where we get along. I know that's unusual.
That's crazy talk, Emily. I don't buy it.
And not only do we get along, we like each other, and we're honest with each other, and we really nurture our, you know, relationships and whatnot. So anyway, so it's a good thing. And so my kids are learning how to deal with it. They're learning how to.
How old are they?
They are 17. 15 and 14. Sorry, I had to think about that.
That's the chemo brain. You get chemo all the time. So, whew.
love when I'm chemo brain.
Yeah.
I think I've always had something to blame. Pregnancy, whatever it is, I've got some reason to blame it. But my kids are learning, you know, they've been dealing with this now for 7 years.
Right.
And this is just one more part of the journey that's new. But it is something that, you know, they're capable of handling because they have to. This is what we do.
Right.
Know when something happens, you handle it. You don't get over it. That's
right.
What we're asking. But we learn how to handle things that life brings us, because we're not exempt from things just because we live a comfortable life, you know.
Wouldn't that be nice? But and, yeah.
Yeah, right? I know. I think when bad things happen, the first time it happens to you, you go, what? I knew that bad things would happen, but
that's me.
I didn't really. Yeah, you know. So but I just hope to be able to use everything that happens to me mm-hmm. for the good of other people.
And well, you are.
I find myself now, even dealing with grief, you know, when I had to tell the world about my diagnosis of it being in my bloodstream and in my lung and spreading, you know, mm-hmm. that chemo hopefully will work, but you know, it's not a guarantee. And then things about, you know, mentioning getting your affairs in order and things like that are really scary. Once I worked through that for, you know, several days, kind of just grasping it and working on the verbiage of how to say those things.
Right.
It's become a blessing to be able to talk to people, because I find myself helping them through grief.
Right.
And it's a gift. It's a gift to be able to have that opportunity.
Well,
because
I think it's hard when you're like you in that moment, like you said, trying to get your affairs in order and having somebody talk about that. I know that a lot of cancer survivors, that's the last thing they want to think of. So at least having somebody, another survivor, talk to them instead of like an accountant or a lawyer, I think would be a lot more comfortable.
Right.
Because, you know, you feel like when you talk to an accountant, there was the hospital, local hospital puts on these cancer survivor seminars, and one of them was a financial seminar. And I thought it was more like, oh, these are the places where you can help to get, you know, help you get money and stuff. And it was putting your affairs in order. And nobody in the room was prepared to listen to this person talk about that. It was like, okay, it was kind of a surprise. Not that anybody didn't need that, but it was like, okay, you kind of need to like let people know that this isn't like, hey, this is a place where you can help you, you know, pay for your bills or GoFundMe or how to do that, versus, well, this is how you get your estate planning in order. You're like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that, it's not meant to be. I mean, death is like not, I mean, it's going to happen, but it's something we all live to try and fight all the time. Right. And so to have to talk about it in such a blatant, very poignant way, mm-hmm. it can, but I'm enjoying being able to be transparent about it. It's been really interesting to be able to talk about it. And
well, I don't hear the woe is me in your voice. So I like that.
Well, thank you. I certainly have had my moments. There's
well,
no
yes,
question.
Of course.
Right. I'm not, I like to pretend I'm Wonder Woman, but I'm really not. And,
well, and, I've never seen the two of you in the same room, so you never know.
That's right. That's right. You're dressed for the job you want, and you show up in Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
Your job, you know. No, it's not going to fly. I'm sorry. But so, you know, ultimately, I'm just thankful that there's platforms out there like this show mm-hmm. to be able to talk about things like this. And you know, people type in colon cancer encouragement. I hope that my name pops up, you know, because it's really important to know you're not alone.
Right.
Yeah, it is. And I think people logically know they're not, but until you go through it and you talk with someone, it really does help. You know, and I found even talking with spouses or mm-hmm. family members who've lost loved ones is really pertinent right now for me. And that's another part of the journey, to be able to talk to people
yes.
who have been through that for me. It brings me some comfort. And I'm still hopeful that things will work.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the same as it was the first two times I had cancer.
Right.
It's different, because those other times we could remove it out of my body. And this time we cannot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at the mercy of doctors and their wisdom, mm-hmm. and at the mercy of even finding wisdom in my own self and looking at alternative types of things. I mean, I'm not necessarily in that place right now, but I will be.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to look into those things, you know, and just take care of myself.
Well, that's
because
important.
I would like to stay here.
Right. And you don't want to be, you have three kids, so you don't want to be all, you know, I mean, you will have some bad days, but you don't want to be all Debbie Downer and, you know, cause you have to keep things positive for them and you still have to be their mom.
Right. That's right. And we're going to be doing some really fun things. I've got, a trip planned, in the works planning it right now, mm-hmm. in June. I want to take my kids on an RV trip over because I live on the West Coast, mm-hmm. and I want to go to Santa Cruz and Monterey, which is one of my favorite spots.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and we have a lot of good memories there, and so I want to create some more when they're older with me, mm-hmm. and go in our RV and, I don't know, try and have a Clark Griswold experience or something, you know? Hopefully we won't have Edna up on top of the RV by the end of it, but...
No Aunt Edna experiences. But yeah, that sounds awesome. No. I mean, I think one of the things, I mean, I hate to say cancer brings out a lot of perspectives, but like you, I mean, would you, if you were healthy, just be like, okay, well, let's go on an RV trip? Probably not. But you know that life is important and life is too short to say, well, let's not do it. Let's, well, you know, why wait?
That's right. And it's giving me, I have the time.
Right.
Like, what a blessing to be able to take that time and
exactly.
do that. You know, I'm going to do things like write out birthday cards ahead of time for my kids, mm-hmm. because if something does happen, you know, at least those will be there for them, for those milestones, you know?
That's nice.
And and I want to do, I have a scrapbook that I'm making that I started the first time I had cancer, of my own scrapbook. I've made scrapbooks for so many people, but I've never done one for myself, right? And I want to be able to do that for my kids and leave that for them.
That's
so
nice.
That they have that.
So,
and
something that you did that's pretty cool that I'd like to do sometime as a TED Talk. Now, what did you tell our listeners what you talked about in your TED Talk? Because that's pretty cool.
Let me tell you, first off, you know, being able to do a TED Talk. I mean, generally, I have gotten to do some really amazing things, and I don't really look at my life right now and go, you know, if I died tomorrow, I wish I would have done blah, blah, blah. I don't have that. So TED Talks was one of my top 10 experiences in life for sure. You know, one of my side jobs besides teaching, which I've taken a hiatus from, is working with what we call straight spouses. Now, that's a term that's used in relationship world, in my world, when you're a straight person or a cisgender person, mm-hmm. and you have a spouse that comes out of the closet. You thought you were married to someone who was also cisgender, and they come out of the closet when you're married.
Okay.
Whatever that looks like. I mean, it could be transgender, it could be, you know, anything. So that happened to me. And so what I do, my ex and I are really good friends. This happened about, 12 years now. It started happening about that time, about 12 years ago. And I ended up working through that, going through some things. My ex and I are good friends now, like I said. I run a blog that is meant for encouraging the straight spouses and also LGBTQ advocacy a little mm-hmm. bit. But I work to heal the divide.
Right.
Now, I'm not the main source of this. I'm just one of many resources. There's some really great, like Straight Spouse Network. There's some really great resources out there. But I just love to write. And so it gives me the venue to be able to do that and encourage people who contact me who might need resources. So I did the TED Talk mm-hmm. on that. And it wasn't just sharing my story. I just talked about, you know, basically the four main points I made were, there were two to the straight spouse, like someone like me, mm-hmm. and it was, you're not alone.
Right.
And know and love yourself because you've got a lot to get through. And then to the other side of things, the other side of the closet, if you will, is, you know, tell the truth, all of it, even if it hurts. And make sure that you are, you know, being humble and do what you can to make amends. And it was just, they were tips. Mm-hmm. And it was really well received. It was the first of its kind on that topic in TED Talk history.
Wow.
So I was very blessed to be able to be a part of that. And I feel like it was sort of like what I had a dream of when I was young about being up in front on a stage and helping people. And I thought I knew what that was going to be. And then here it is, it's this. And it was really amazing. And it was hard, but it was good.
How long did you speak for?
How long did I speak for?
Yes.
It took about 12 minutes. You know, they want you to keep it at 8 minutes if you can, because and a lot of them aren't that way. But 8 minutes is about the time when someone's watching a video where they're like, okay, I could sit through 8 minutes, right?
Right.
So they were trying to keep it concise. They gave me more minutes because I needed it, but I had never memorized, and I love public speaking, but it was really hard because I'm used to being able to kind of go off the cuff if I need to.
Yes.
If you did that, you were in a world of hurt.
Oh, really?
Because you've got a stage presence, and you might forget what you're saying, and people can tell when you're not polished and you're rambling. You know,
right.
They have high expectations for TED Talks, and so they were pretty pressure oriented on me, which is good. And it was just such a great experience, Mel. It was just such a great experience, and chalk that one up for one of my favorite things that ever happened.
That's off
for sure.
Off of I hate the term bucket list, but that's off your bucket list.
Oh, bucket list is a real thing.
I know. I just don't like the actual term, but do things before you can. I mean, I prefer like a list of memories or I don't know. I haven't figured out the right term for it, but I just, you know, would rather.
You know what? I'll figure something out and I'll let you know. How
Sweet.
Does that sound?
All right.
We'll come up with something cool. So yeah, I'm a happy person with what I've done in my life, and hopefully, you know, it'll rub off on my kids and you know, they'll be able to adjust and be well-adjusted adults and make their own memories with their own families, you know. And I've done all I can. If they needed to live on their own, they could.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm confident. Yeah. So I think it's going to be okay. There might be boxcar children or something like that, but they could do it. They could do it. I know they could.
They would all live in, would they live in tiny houses? Because I've been like kind of obsessed with that, where people check out the houses and they're always like, wow, this is really small. It's like, dude, it's a tiny house. But anyway.
Okay. That was actually on my bucket list, is to have a tiny house. And I'm like, that sort of got thrown out the window. I'm like, no, I'm not going to worry about that. But I think you and I have a healthy obsession with it. So I'm a huge fan of the tiny house. And if my kids want to live in a tiny house, by God, I'll make sure they can get into one if I can help it. So
exactly.
Yeah, I love the tiny house.
I don't, you know what? I play hockey, so I think my gear, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I need my space, and it always seems like, oh yeah, well, I can't get away from you now, and I'm just irritated. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need
this,
a little
though.
Space for yourself.
Why don't we start a compound for cancer survivors and a little tiny house?
I like that.
Regalia right around in this, you know, cool woodsy area, and we can, you know, help each other out. I think that'd be great.
That would be awesome. What is that?
Yeah,
noise?
Be very cool. That beeping?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
I was just wondering.
You know what? It's okay. It's my Facebook. I have my computer open, you know, to talk to you.
So yes.
Of course, you know, I've wrote a post today. It's kind of Facebook famous, so I'm getting a lot of
notoriety,
beeps and things. Mm-hmm. So it's all.
So you're the editor of Bliss Babe magazine. What is this?
Yes. Okay. So it's locally owned, and it started local, and it's branching out into Northern California. And I just edit. Like, I wouldn't call myself a grammar snob. I don't get upset with other people, mm-hmm. right? I don't that far.
Right.
But I teach English, and I'm a writer. And so these are my friends who, and it's by women for women.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
It's a great, It's not all by women. Some of the stuff is written by men, but it's a fashion magazine. It's a health magazine. It helps people to live a blissful life. Women to live a blissful life. That's one of their mottos. And so I get the opportunity to be an editor of a magazine. How did that happen? I'm not sure, but it's a great thing. Like, I'm happy to be a part of that team, and I just get to be the nitpicky person, and I'm, you know, rake people over the coals. Not really in my mind I do, but I fix it, you know. It's a really fun thing to be a part of. I can still do that. That's not difficult.
You're not like the Miranda Priestley of the Bliss Babe. That's all.
No. I'm not Devil Wears Prada, any of those things.
Well, you always think about the editor of a magazine. You always picture they're either like the guy from Spider-Man or like, you know, Devil Wears Prada. So you're the cool person that.
Right, exactly. Right. So I just get to be the little, you know, pencil pusher in a way, like not pencil pusher, pencil user, red pen user, and just mark things up. So it's fun for me. So yeah, I get to do that. And
you can do that anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of wish I could just write for a living. That would be my dream, honestly, and do things like that. But I am where I am right now, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. I do miss my students. I've been an English teacher for the last 6 years. At a school called Encompass Academy. It's a public charter school here in our district, and we serve a high amount of at-risk students, and it's just joy to work there. I mean, it gives teaching a whole new level of meaning when you're working with students who don't fit the mold of a regular high school. And so getting to be a part of their lives has also been a blessing. I can't imagine my life without all of the great things I've gotten to do.
Oh, I bet.
And all of it has to do with, encouragement, really. And if I can be a part of that in any way, shape, or form, I want to be there. So yeah.
Well, I want to encourage people to go to your GoFundMe page, which is gofundme.com/EmilyReese. I will put that on the Empower Radio page as your link, so people can check that out. So that'll be good.
Okay, great. Thank you for doing that. You know, it's really just to be able to help my kids. I call them my three little birds from Marley, you know, because I'm not working.
Right.
And I can't really work during chemo because the Spectibix is pretty tough on my body. And so every little bit helps. Mm-hmm. And even just encouraging words. I mean, I love to be able to chat with people. So if anyone has any questions about colon cancer or needs some encouragement, feel free to contact me on my Facebook. It's under Emily Faye Reese. Emily, FAYREESE. I'm always open to chatting with people. I'm just happy to be able to be on your show.
Yes.
What a great hookup. Thank you.
I know.
You.
Thanks, Katie Wheeler.
And I know. I love it.
And the other cool thing about GoFundMe is if you can't donate, you can always share the GoFundMe page, because I know a lot of people want to help people, but they also have their own financial issues going on. So you can always just share that link on your page and be like, you know what, that's what I tell people. If you can't donate, share the link, because you might, you know, your page might touch someone else's heart and they might be able to donate as an anonymous person, or just say, you know, I read your story and I'd really like to help your kids, and here's $20 so you don't put an ad on the top of the car during your RV trip. Don't leave her out in the rain.
We'll circle back. So, yeah, a little bit does help. And I'm sitting here shaking my head, like, just share and spread the word about colon cancer.
Exactly.
And just be aware of it and be good to yourself.
And be aware of your body. Make sure if you feel something is wrong, see the doctor. Don't be like, I'm going to wait. Because I know a lot of people like yourself, or people who say who've had issues, are like, you know, let's wait and see if the doctor says let's wait and see, find another doctor. I tell my friends, I'd rather see them get a biopsy and have nothing happen than wait and then, God forbid, you know, it's cancer or something else.
And a lot of people don't do it out of fear, and, right. and fear can be our biggest enemy. And mm-hmm. so tackle it, even if you're afraid
right.
of exactly. the outcome, because what's the worst that could happen? They diagnose you and they get you help. Exactly. The best that can happen is nothing's wrong.
Exactly.
And so it's you've got to overcome your fear, and or not even overcome it, just take a step forward. Even if you can't overcome it.
Exactly.
You know, reach out to someone and they can help you get there, you know? So, because I've been there. I know what it feels like.
You have been there. And that's why we had you on the show. And just like that, the half hour is over. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. That's how I found Emily. You can check out my Facebook verified page, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting, sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.